Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right. Welcome to December. November is in the rear view mirror today.
Wow.
December 1st.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, how about that? Happy December.
In fact, DeHuff gave me a note. What was it? 39 years ago today, Christmas Vacation was released.
It was 31 years ago.
31 years ago.
It's on the rundown in front of you.
Is it?
We didn't have great eyes. Very last page. Next to Drew Locke's mom's letter.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We'll get to that in a moment. Yes. Christmas Vacation came out 31 years ago. I just watched it the other, watched the Thanksgiving night.
You know, one thing I love.
I'll watch that movie at least three more times between now and Christmas.
The Grinch with Jim Carrey, I'll watch three or four times during this lead up to Christmas. I love it. It's a great movie.
I'm now getting to the point with Christmas Vacation where I'm able to start, you know, reciting the lines as they come up.
Oh, sure.
You couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant.
It's a classic.
A holiday classic. Okay, let's get to Mama Locke.
Mm.
So Laura Locke.
Why?
At Laura Locke Rocks. Came out to the defense of her son. And I'm reading. Shame. Shame on the many for thinking that they can speak of others in damning ways. Here is the truth. Drew and the quarterback room requested permission to watch film. They came to the facility on their own time to put in more work. His leadership, which seems to be in question by some, brought them to this predicament. Drew asking for more commitment of his QB room than just a normal NFL day. Drew and the quarterbacks even requesting a room at the facility rather than risking trouble and meetings at an off-campus site. This is a group of four men that had tested negative that day and are with their people, their ecosystem, as we tell our children in friend groups. They let their guard down. They did not wear their mask the entire time they were in their socially distanced environment. It's unfortunate, not damning. Let's see. Anything else? As a parent, an educator, a friend, a coworker, a boss, using people to make an example of a situation is wrong. The NFL used one of their own as an example. This is where the shame is. How would you feel if poolside came to your defense that way?
Poolside would say, you didn't have your mask on, then he'd give me a spanking. That's what poolside would do. Listen, I get that she's passionate about her son. Good for her. Just like you're passionate about your kids and I'm passionate about my kids. Time and a place. And, you know, your son is the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, a $3 billion organization. He's got to own his stuff. I would hope that my parents would never get into my football business. You know, I would hope that that would never happen. Of course, social media gives you the opportunity, to do these things. But I would hope that that wouldn't be the case because that would irritate me. And here's the deal. That may be the version of the truth. That may be the truth. It may be a version of it. It may be part of it. The bottom line is that the rules were circumvented. And you do make an example of teams that don't follow and players that don't follow the rules. That's how society works. Is it not? Shame on the NFL. No, the NFL just handed down the protocol and said, don't violate the protocol. And then what did you do the very next day? Violated the protocol. So you That's the way the league works. I mean, it happens this way all the time in every walk of life. I bet you could find a million different scenarios where the same type of thing has happened. That somebody has been made, even if it's the scapegoat, somebody has been made the example of.
So does this make Drew look weak at all? Does this chip away at the idea that he is a leader, can be your leader, when mommy is coming to your defense like this?
Yeah, it does. It's not a good look. It just isn't a good look. Now, again, social media, you know, I mean, social media gives you a platform. You're a passionate parent. I get all that stuff. It just is not a good look. It is not a good look for a player. You know, I'll go back to Eli Apple with the Giants and how Eli Apple had to have protection in his own locker room because every guy wanted to beat him up. And, you know, and his mom became some type of a social media star. Remember, she was doing appearances on ESPN. It's just a really bad look. It's a really bad look.
And yeah, sure, I tried to put myself in her shoes as a parent, and you know, you hear people saying things about your child that way. I can understand that, you know, protecting the mama cub type thing.
Right.
But boy, I can't imagine. I would hope Drew's reaction was like, Mom, What are you doing?
Hey man,
I love you, but come on.
I'm sure
right. You know, because if it was my mom doing that, I'd be like, Mom, please, you're not right. Helping here.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I am sure that was the reaction.
Because if his reaction was, Mom, thanks, I really needed that. Then I'd be like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, that's not my quarterback.
I'm sure that's kind of the way it went.
It's my quarterback.
Do we have Mike? Do we have somebody on the phone, guys?
Hi, Michael. It's your mama. How are you?
Hi, Mom. Wow, this is a surprise.
All right. Hello, Mrs. Evans.
Hello,
how are you?
From Scarborough, Maine. Yeah.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Mrs. Evans.
I thank you for the chili. It's delicious.
You're welcome.
You sent my mom chili?
Yeah.
I never get any chili.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great holiday season.
Oh, thank you so much. Guys, I just wanted to talk to you. I want to come to Michael's defense. Mark, I'm tired of you making fun of him.
Oh, Mom.
Michael,
it's okay.
Stop it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
He cries every night because you make fun of his giant head. And you say it looks like an orange on a toothpick. That's not nice.
Mom, I'm all right with it. We have fun.
No,
it's
no,
okay.
no, Michael. Mark, you also say his sausage fingers get all sweaty when he types. That's not his fault. He has a gland problem.
Okay. Mrs. Evans, I'm sorry.
Mark and I are fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, no, honey.
Thank
no,
you.
No, honey. No, one more thing. Just because he wears husky pants does not mean he's a bad person.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Evans.
Thank you, Mom.
Bye, honey. I love you.
Love you, too. It was my mom.
Oh. She's a sweet lady.
She's a sweet
really
lady. Very sweet.
Take care of you.
Very sweet lady.
Yeah.
Very sweet lady. Very sweet lady. But that didn't help. Now I know how Drew must be feeling. And that's not good. I'm not feeling good right now. I'm not feeling good. My mom, I love my mom, but she shouldn't have done that.
No.
That was unnecessary. I can fight
they
my own.
They shoveled into the salt.
I can fight my own battles. Wow.
I didn't know she listened to us.
I didn't know either.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know she had the number to call in either, but I guess she does. Yeah. Hey, Mom has many resources, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm curious. It kind of got lost in the fact that he didn't play, but you had a chance to sit down for a while with Drew and talk with him when you were preparing for this game. I'd be curious what your observations were of Drew and your conversation. That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So it didn't matter that much because he didn't end up playing, but as part of your preparation for this game, to call the game on Sunday for Fox, you got a chance to spend, what, probably a good 15, 20, 25 minutes talking with Drew Locke. And I'm just curious what the conversation was like, what your impressions were, what'd you come away from the whole conversation?
I found him to be intriguing. I found him to be very, very kind of honest about where he is in his career. He knows he needs to get better. He knows he needs to do things better. So, I did basically tell him that I don't know. Like, I'm impressed with the fact that he can let a few things go and move on. To start 0-for-6 and throw a pick, I was like, in my own career, I'd have been a basket case, right? And to be able to come off of that and actually put some drives together and some scores together and things of that nature are impressive. But, we talked about lack of deep ball accuracy. We talked about, just timing and being able to trigger. We talked about being able to trust stepping up in the pocket and doing all those things and all things that he's, all things that he's aware of that he knows he needs to get better at. Also talked about being in six different offenses in six different years. And, one of the things that we talked about is understanding, like, when the coach comes to you on a Friday or a Saturday and say, what do you like? He's like, I don't know what I like. I haven't run enough stuff to really have an opinion on, hey, I really like this, this, and this in these situations. So they're trying to figure that out on the fly. Obviously, missing a game doesn't help them. But that's part of what they're trying to figure out. So, when we talk about continuity, and you and I had that argument during the season, like, well, continuity, he's had a lot of different systems, so he should be okay. That continuity, understanding what you know you like and what you don't like, I didn't know what I didn't like until I got my ass kicked doing something. And then I'm like, man, I hate this play in this situation. Here's the pitfalls. I need to protect myself against these pitfalls. Like, he's still learning that stuff because you're never in every situation you're going to be in the first 6, 8, 12, 14 games. There's always going to be things that come up. I still see things when I'm watching film and I'm studying teams that I haven't seen. I'm like, oh, wow, that was really interesting. I've never seen anybody. Hell, we talked about it last week. I mean, they brought back the Packers 60s stuff. And again, that's part of the deal going forward. And, that's why these reps are so important. That's why, like, you could talk about Drew Locke and Laura Locke, and you can talk about the mistakes that were made, and you can talk about all these things. It's devastating that you lost those reps. You had a chance to go against, the best defense that you will face all year, and you didn't get the reps against that defense. And as Dan Orzlovsky said on ESPN yesterday, nothing is more expensive than a missed opportunity. You missed an opportunity to go against the best. I mean, that makes a difference. It makes a difference in your life and your career and all those things. And you missed an opportunity to do that because of a decision that you made. That's the disappointing part.
Here's the million-dollar question. You meet with NFL quarterbacks every single week. You've met with some of the best of the best.
Uh-huh.
When you come away from your conversation with Drew Locke, do you feel like you've just talked to a quarterback who can be the guy?
I feel like I talked to a quarterback who's learning how to play quarterback. And there's a big difference. there's a big difference between the confidence of that guy. Like, there's confidence, and then there's false bravado. Remember the song? You know, the false bravado? La-da-da-da, oh, false bravado. I don't know who's saying it. I can't remember. It's a great line, though.
Benny, get to work on that.
Yeah. Anywho, you know, like, when I've talked to Mitch Trubisky in the last few years, that feels like false bravado. Yeah, I'm confident. I'm this, I'm that. Like, no, you're not. Like, there's a factor of, I'm still trying to figure this out. I don't understand it. I feel that Drew Locke has got some courage and some guts behind him and all those things. I still feel like Drew Locke doesn't know what it's going to take to play quarterback yet, and he's still figuring that out.
But you don't sense false bravado.
No, I sense a guy that has some confidence, but a guy that is still a ways off from being an NFL quarterback.
And he owns that.
Yeah, I think he owns it. I think he knows he's got a ton of work to do. I think he knows the system that he came from. I think he understands, you know, all the work that there is to do. Like, when I talk to Russell Wilson, I'll talk to him this week. I'm doing the Seattle game this week. When I talk to Russell Wilson, there's no false bravado. There's no braggadocious. It's just fact. I know what I'm doing. I've put in the work. I know exactly what's going on. And you can see it. It just comes off as it's the difference between, I've always said in the NFL, the difference between confidence and arrogance, Mike, is confidence comes from a place of, I put in the work. Arrogance comes from a place of fear. It's a place of fear because you haven't done it. You don't know. So what do? You pump your, you bang on your chest and you say, hey man, I'm the man, right? I'm good. We're ready to roll. It's the false bravado action. And, you know, Russell Wilson is, and I've told you the kind of work that he puts in. And I think there's a lot of guys that don't understand that that's what it takes. You want to be great. You want to be good. You want to be, you know, you want to get to the next level. It takes an inordinate amount of work.
Morning Brew, coming your way. Vic Fangio seems willing to double down. Is he doing the right thing? That's next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat like me, and you're gonna crap under.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
We haven't yet. As you know, we're all working remotely today. But that's something that we will discuss. But, you know, I think if we just follow the protocols, we'll be fine.
Okay, so Vic Fangio sort of doubling down on the idea that there was nothing wrong with having all four quarterbacks together. And there's no reason to set up a scenario where you put one of these quarterbacks in a bubble just to be sure, just in case. So what do you make of him deciding to say, nope, there's nothing wrong with what we have in place. We can keep all four quarterbacks together. They just need to make sure they follow the protocol.
Well, that's dumb. Because obviously you just showed that you can't keep all four quarterbacks together. I mean, I get, you know, hey, nothing to see here. We didn't do anything wrong, you know. But you just played a game with a dude that hasn't taken a snap in 2 years. That was working retail a month ago. Come on.
Okay, there's two ways of looking at this.
All right.
One is, hey, my job as a coach to build a culture here, and I want to build a culture of responsibility, and these guys need to take responsibility.
They're young men, and they have urges.
And if they haven't learned their lesson from this, then shame on them. And if we have to go through this again, then shame on them. Or it is scapegoating, and we're just going to put these four out on an island. They're the ones that screwed up. There's nothing wrong with what the organization, the coaching staff is doing. It's all on them. One of the two. So what is it? feels like scapegoating to me.
It feels to me like you're saying the same thing. I mean, to me, absolutely. Hey, it's those guys' responsibility. Nothing to see here. No. That's not how leadership works. I mean, don't the best leaders in the world take full responsibility for what happens inside their organization? Isn't that, I mean, did I miss?
It happened inside the building.
Did I miss out on that leadership, on that TED Talk?
It happened inside the building. The organization naturally takes some responsibility and accountability for this and the blame for this. But boy, they really seem to be.
If you don't learn from your mistakes, aren't you doomed to repeat them? Isn't that how that works? I don't know. But you can say one thing and do another. Didn't they sign sign Pat Shermer's?
Yeah, they signed Kyle Shermer. I guess that's the emergency guy. I guess that's the in case of emergency break glass.
So now are we gonna have five quarterbacks in the room together?
I don't think so. I doubt it, but you never know. We'll ask Mike Kliss, our Bronco insider. He'll join us coming up here in about 10 minutes. Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, I could have took in more in free agency, but that's not the whole point. The contract that Chase Callahan and the Broncos came to agreement with was a perfect contract for me and my family. That's all that really matters to me. Yeah, it would have been awesome to be the highest paid, but, you know, at the same time, I'm thankful for what I got. I'm blessed for what I got, and I know the Broncos and Chase did exactly what they needed to do to get me to stay here.
You know, for all the grief he's gotten, I find Garrett Bowles' response and him working out this deal, wanting to stay, I find it all very refreshing. Here's a guy who looked at it and said, I want to be here. This is where I started. This is where I want to finish. I know I've gone through some trials and tribulations, but it's stuff that I've learned from. It's stuff that's made me better. And I don't need to be the highest paid guy. I don't need to go out there into free agency and see what's out there. They approached me with a fair deal, and I said, let's do it. I wish all negotiations could be that simple.
Yeah, that would be nice, right? And I'm with you, man. I think the biggest thing for me is to watch that guy completely go from victim to responsibility taker. Like, there was a time last year where I'm being targeted and I'm not holding that. Just to say, man, I had to get my game right. I wasn't good enough. I work my butt off. You know, I've got a lot of respect for the way he's gone about his business and the changes that he has made. And there have been dramatic changes. And you know, you got to tip your cap to him, the work ethic that he's put in, tip your cap to Mike Munchak and the patience that he has shown and the coaching and the teaching that he has, you know, that he has put forth to help Garrett Bowles. It's just it's an awesome story. It really is.
Although I will admit, the penalty was declined, but when they announced holding 72, I did wince a little bit.
Yeah, well, Sunday. But come on, that thing was that the ball was being held forever. You change your direction, you get it. Yeah, I mean, that's one that goes, to me, that's a holding call that goes on the quarterback.
Next on the Morning Group.
One of the defensive coaches came up to me and it kind of made me mad that he was like, you know, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet. You know, in my mind, I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So, you know, it had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
Was that Jim Schwartz?
Yes, sir.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Why you got to do that? That's just dumb. Why, you know, you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. I mean, what are you doing, Jim Schwartz? Talking trash to DK Metcalf? What are you doing?
See your Schwartz is as big as mine. Now let's see how well you handle.
You're not Megatron? I'll tell you what. DK Metcalf might be the closest thing I've seen to Megatron come through the NFL in some time. That guy is scary.
Dude, he's more hell of a lot more physical than Megatron. Jim Schwartz, seriously. You know what I'd like to do is just give him shoulder pads and helmet.
Yeah, all right, go out there.
Right? Like, oh, that would irritate. If I was a player, I would be so irritated with that dude. Now, hey, the Eagles were up to the task. Defensively, I thought the Eagles played pretty damn well last night. But DK Metcalf is, you know, in a league full of freak shows, and there are a bunch of them, he is, like, he's the king. Like, if
King
it's
Freak.
Barnum, if it's Barnum and Bailey Circus, like, and you're going to see the freaks, you know, you're going to go see the bearded lady and the really fat guy, and that the one guy that you're really coming to see is Megatron.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me, is Metcalf. I mean, that's like, he is the headliner at the freak show.
Next on the Morning Brew.
We understand that we have a bullseye on our back, if you will, being where we are in this process. We don't run away from that. We embrace that. We enjoy the challenges that the National Football League presents week in and week out.
Okay, there's Mike Tomlin. Baltimore and Pittsburgh has been moved again. Mm. We told you it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
You could see that coming a mile away. It did. It'll be now played. Be played tomorrow. This is so 2020. The game is going to be played tomorrow afternoon on NBC, not tomorrow night. Why? Because NBC has the lighting of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, which traditionally gets big TV ratings. They don't want to mess with that. So Baltimore-Pittsburgh will be played in the afternoon.
Can't they just light the Christmas tree at halftime? What's wrong with that? They got to show the little ice rink in there.
Yeah,
right,
you got to add a little, some singing, some carols, you know,
some
things like that.
Chocolatey.
Some hot chocolate. Yeah, all that stuff.
Okay. All right. That's great.
So that game's been moved back yet again.
And let me hear Bronco conspiracy theorists cry and moan about that game being moved
again. Well, okay, but in fairness, you think that Baltimore has just been plain unlucky with all these tests? You don't think some of their guys have done things that have been unprofessional or maybe lied about their whereabouts, their contact tracing? You think they've done everything and they've just been plumb unlucky? Come on.
I think there's some things that have happened, but you know what? The things that have happened have probably been outside the facility where you're not being taped all the time. So there's a difference between, being outside the facility and running into some issues and being dumb enough to let everybody see you put your guard down inside the facility where everything's on tape.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Up next, our 9 News Bronco insider Mike Kliss will shed some light on why Pat Shurmur's kid is here. That and more coming up next. And we say good morning to our 9 News Bronco insider, Mike Kliss, presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Morning, Michael.
What's going on, guys?
Well, you know, I keep waiting for, you know, a lot of people upset about the Broncos having to play without a quarterback, Michael, but I keep waiting for the Paul Harvey, and now you know the rest of the story. You know, is there a smoking gun coming out here? Is there something else that we don't know about that maybe the NFL was privy to?
I keep hearing about all these conspiracy theories since they made this last hour decision to quarantine the quarterbacks. It will be interesting if they're cleared today, the quarterbacks. If all three quarterbacks are cleared, they test negative. I think it brings into question the league's decision to go ahead and quarantine these guys. There's a little debate on the meeting. It wasn't meeting. There were extra credit film work. It was, Mark, and I've heard you talk on this program over the years. Guys come in and do extra film work on their own. And that's what happened here. The three quarterbacks, both on Tuesday on the off day and Wednesday after practice, came by themselves, got in a room, a big room, and watched some extra film. And, you know, how they wore their mask and put their mask down. The quarterbacks, you know, it's clear that they didn't do it well enough for the league to make this decision. But from what I understand, the Broncos thought when they sent in the videotape, they didn't think the NFL was going to rule the way they did and put all three quarterbacks in this quarantine. And we'll see. We'll see today. I'm anticipating, you know, they've all tested negative through 4 days. Two, Locke and Rippon, have tested negative for almost 130 consecutive days, Bortles for over 60 days. I mean, why didn't that matter in the decision when you come to whether or not these guys should be quarantined or not? And then, you know, if they're cleared this morning, that means they would have been okay to play on Tuesday night. And the league would not push it back to Tuesday night for competitive reasons. And the result was, you know, what you had to try to describe there, Mark, on, on Sunday.
Busy with Mike Kliss. Mike, here's what puzzles me, though, is Vic Fangio's reaction to all of this. He was very adamant in really putting the onus and his disappointment on them after the game Sunday. And then he pretty much doubled down yesterday and said the same thing, even left open the idea of punishing, the Broncos punishing these quarterbacks. That seems, I used the word on Sunday, I used it again, seems pretty draconian for letting your mask slip a couple times. I'm just, I guess I'm puzzled. I'm wondering, is there something else to the way that the players reacted to all of this or how truthful they were about what was happening? Because it just seems a little heavy-handed if it's just letting your mask slip a couple times.
I agree, especially from a coach who was heavily fined for not wearing a mask in, you know, in week two of the season. I was surprised by that Fangio did that as well. I think part of it might have been his emotion, you know, after the game, he was just really ticked off. You know, in retrospect, it all sunk in that they had no chance because these quarterbacks couldn't play. And he was mad that they put themselves in this position. And the quarterbacks do definitely deserve some blame. And it, I think the league leaked out there to various national reporters that these quarterbacks weren't truthful. The quarterbacks deny that. The Broncos deny that they, you know, were lying about this. It was all about, you know, it's too bad that that narrative came out there because it was about, you know, Driscoll wound up positive. He was, you know, they didn't know that at the time. It was about, you know, the amount of time they didn't wear the mask and the amount of time they were not socially distanced. All this other stuff, I think, was the league trying to justify their rather heavy-handed decision. And if they test negative, guys, I'm sorry. You have to really question if they and they made a last minute decision. You know, they got this tape Friday morning. It took them over 26 hours to make a decision here, and they made the decision before 15 minutes before the final practice on Saturday, which is, you know, Kendall Hinton didn't get his first walkthrough until 4 o'clock after practice was over, you know, at the hotel, a hotel ballroom. It was ridiculous. But it just didn't seem like the NFL cared about the whole competitive thing. I think the NFL was, you know, considered it a victory that the game went off. And, you know, that it was contained to the quarterback room was just tough cookies. And again, you know, the Ravens are getting moved all the time, and New England got moved previously, and Tennessee got moved previously because those were virus spreads. This was not a virus spread. This was contained. And you remove the players in the containment, everything's safe. Well, the fact that it was the quarterbacks, it didn't matter to the NFL, and it was just, it was an embarrassment out there on Sunday.
Okay, so I would ask you this: how embarrassing and how much of this falls on the organization? And you know, I mean, ultimately, if this is the Kansas City Chiefs or if this is a team that's prominent right now in a playoff push, are you dealt as heavy-handedly as the NFL dealt with the Broncos?
To that part, and I've been asked that, you know, the New England Patriots have a strong owner in Robert Kraft. And for, you know, taking air out of the footballs, New England and Tom Brady, the biggest star in the league, and Robert Kraft, maybe the strongest owner in the league in 2017, they got suspended 4 games. Jerry Jones is the strongest owner in the league. He criticized Roger Goodell. I can't remember. I think it was about his salary. And he got Roger Goodell heavily fined Jerry Jones. So the notion of the owner, I'll say this. If the Chiefs were playing on Sunday night, maybe they would have found a way to get Mahomes out there. Let's say it was Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce in the room, and one of them tested positive. It's hard to believe the league would not have found a way to get Mahomes into the game on Sunday night. If it's a noon game on Sunday, against Jacksonville, I do think that they would have done the same thing. That those guys would not have been allowed to play in that game.
Real quick, Mike, because we're up against it. But yeah. The Kyle Shurmur sign, is this just an emergency in case all four quarterbacks aren't cleared to play this week?
For the most part, yes. Yeah. For the most part, he would be eligible to play Sunday night against Arrowhead if they started this ball rolling on Sunday after watching that fiasco. And, in case these guys tested positive, in the following 2 days, they needed a little more of a chance at quarterback than what they had on Sunday.
Okay. Mike, thank you.
You got it, guys.
Mike Liss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. A lot to unpack from that. Also want to hear more about Mark's meetings with Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, Drew Locke, Justin Simmons. Observations of them and the team coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.